This is the Oakland Podcast, featuring Morgan Brown and Michael Yu.
Welcome to the Oakland Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Michael Yu.
And I'm the other host, Morgan Brown.
And I am just the podfather.
Yes, podfather. Yeah. We love
a one-word name. Well, who's your favorite one-named celebrity? Like
Oprah.
Oprah.
Yeah, called that. Yeah.
Beyonce. Well,
that's okay. So wait, who would be Oprah question. Or Beyonce?
It's Oprah always. He's
good.
She's my
way
God.
To start a podcast by saying that that's a stupid question.
You know why I love
question.
Oprah? You know why I love Oprah? I'll tell you why.
Okay.
I want you to think about one wealthy, rich person who has done like spiritual work. So there's like a whole thing about how if you're wealthy, like you're not going to be able to be like spiritual at the same time. You either have to be spiritual and poor. Like, this is like people's mindset, or rich and just not spiritual and just like focus on themselves and focus, you know, on what they're doing, their business.
Right.
So I think she merges that. She's one of the only people that can do that. She gives back so much.
Yeah.
Tell me a couple other ones.
What do you mean? Another one that uses
their money to give back.
It's a weird thing, like when it comes to like wealth. So this is from another podcast. So there's a difference between being a business person and being a visionary. So a business person will always think about like the impact and how it would impact their commerce, you know, at the end of the day. So they're really reserved because they're a business person. And then there's a visionary, which is just someone that's going to say it, tell it like it is. And just no matter what, regardless of the impact, good or bad, is going to speak their mind. So I think Oprah is more of a visionary than a business person, even though she's
quite
loaded.
No, but she's like, you know, her whole backstory. Do you want to go?
Yeah.
She actually bought the rights to her production like really early.
Yeah.
And that was actually her business manager who made her do that. So it was her, you're right. It was her team that made her like business minded that way.
Yeah, totally.
But you're right. She's a visionary.
Yeah, I think so.
Who's your one favorite celebrity? The one named
wonder? How about
you,
Brayden?
Me?
Yeah.
Are you going to put me on the spot?
Yeah.
Fine. Sting.
Sting. Oh, hey.
Damn, that's good.
Lauren and I are watching Only Murders in the Building right now. So Sting is top of mind for me right now.
Okay. Is he in a movie now?
I got to tell
show.
You, Sting
a TV show?
Is one older man. Sting. You know what I mean?
Oh, he's a dreamboat.
He's a dreamboat.
I don't like Sting's voice. I don't find his
singing voice or his talking voice?
His singing voice. I think it's very flat and monotonous.
Oh, I'm done.
Yeah.
Okay, first
don't
of all,
you
you're
think
wrong.
It's kind of like, it doesn't have very much vocal range. It's kind of like...
Oh yeah, his range isn't great.
Yeah,
his range
yeah.
Isn't
it's
right.
Like, there's
yeah,
not very
fine.
Much variation. It's like, it doesn't hit a real crescendo.
No.
Have you listened to... Okay, for anyone...
I'm not a music guy. Like, Brayden's a music guy.
Yeah, Brayden, what do you think?
I think he's a great songwriter. And I think his voice is unique. Mm-hmm. I don't think that he has I don't know. It's not a great range. It's like, he's not a great singer, but he's like, he's just a great musical visionary.
Okay, I just wanted to... He's like a talking... This is my favorite. Okay, if anyone has not watched the Shaggy and Sting... Behind Tiny Desk concert.
Shaggy?
It is 10.
You're saying it wrong, Brayden. It's Shaggy.
Okay.
They're like, those two are like very good friends and they had an album together. They just brought out an album.
So do you want to change your answer from Oprah to Shaggy then, maybe?
You know what, Shaggy? I'll tell you a little about Shaggy. That's a terrible, terrible idea.
No, you're supposed to say
mine's Oprah.
It wasn't me.
It wasn't me.
But you caught me in the shower. Wasn't me.
Oh, okay.
He always has like this relationship with, remember the Canadians, music sensation Snow?
Yes.
Like Informer?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, that's Shaggy and Snow. Oh, yeah, yeah. Snow is Canadian.
I didn't know.
There was another guy he was really close with, a Canadian. Shaggy is like very funny.
Oh yeah?
I don't know. Again, not a great range, but like super good songwriter.
Mm-hmm.
Like clever, you know, like, you know, sells, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, who's your one?
This is a tough one. P. Diddy? No. I'm kidding.
That's two words.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ooh, this is a tough one. I think, okay. You know, a celebrity that I quite admire how relevant they've been for so long is Madonna. I think she's like, I don't really like her music so much, but I think she's been relevant for so long.
Yes, she's a legend.
Longevity.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like she's kind of...
She's done.
She's kind
she's canceled
of...
canceled
at
me.
This point in
she
time,
what?
She's mm-hmm. struggling to be relevant. Like, she's doing struggling. Things she's that too- are like... Kind of, I don't think that you should, I mean, have to like, you know, act your age or anything like that. But like, at some point you have to start kind of embracing that you
are
potentially aging.
Yeah,
and
just
like,
age is beautiful.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah. I think she's fighting it as hard as she can, which
like
is her decision, but yeah. It's,
I feel like she's, in my mind, she's a little bit like, I love Madonna for mm-hmm. all of for what she's done. But I think right now you're right. She's just like trying to push up. And I think that's good. It's good. It's age is a beautiful thing, and people are yeah. really making it not a beautiful thing.
I think she's kind of trying to maybe unwittingly sending a message that aging gracefully isn't okay and you should fight it. And that's like not putting the right thing out there for like young people.
For young
maybe.
Women yeah, specifically.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
young
like
women.
It's like.
Yeah. Morgan has a dream of hers when she gets older. What was that dream? Remember?
That we do LSD together.
Yes. We will definitely do that.
I was like, we're going to be like so old together. And then yeah. we'll be like, okay, whatever. We can do whatever we
yeah,
want.
Yeah. Now that the window of our existence is coming.
No, I don't
want to
do LSD. But no, I just want
to. You said the whole colored glasses thing.
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so my dream when I get to like, this isn't even old. This is like when I'm 48. So it's not even that long way. Like, is that I like cut my hair really sharp and then I do like a colored glasses. Like, you know, like those cool colored glasses. And I know.
Would we call them cool?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
They're
okay,
very
go
cool.
Go on.
And I'm going to like wear that sharp cut. And wear like really funky clothes and like be the cool mom that is like got the glasses and the sharp cut and like, the, you know, and like come in with cool running shoes and stuff like that. Do you know yeah. what I'm talking about?
You
like
know what?
Trendy European.
I met the future you and she's actually lives close to us and we're okay. actually going to a musical together actually. Yeah. So like we met this, so we just bump into this couple all the time. They're an older couple, John and Ruth. They live about a block from us and they walk their dog all the time. We walk with Sophie and she's this cool lady that has this sharp haircut with the colored glasses.
So cool.
And so Pri's really into gardening and so are they. So we kind of do like vegetable swapping with
oh,
them.
Oh, that's cute.
And so they just come over for like beers and wine once in a while we trade our like vegetables.
Aww.
And yeah, we just always have such a great time with them. We're just like, let's
hang out.
so we just booked to go watch a musical together at the VSO or something, the Orpheum, like
cool.
next
oh,
month.
That'll
yeah.
be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be kind of cool.
What musical?
So it's Wizard of Oz, but the VSO is going to play all the instrumental portions of Wizard
oh,
of Oz
cool.
and you watch
That's
the
cool.
Wizard of Oz. Yeah,
love
so it's
that.
Kind of cool. We just watched another one, which was like, which was really good. So I now that... You know, we're somewhat post-COVID. I really have enjoyed all the arts and stuff like that. I want
yes.
to get into it. I want to go to the opera. I want to go do all that kind of stuff.
So
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
nice like being together. You know, like the Woo event was like amazing.
Yeah.
Oh,
let's dive into
dive
Woo.
Into
yeah,
that.
Please.
So
okay,
we had,
what was that all about?
Oh my gosh. I am still like, I feel like I'm like, it's like a hangover. Like it's like the, you know, like the energy
the
is still
over.
There. Yeah. Yeah, it's like the woo over. Yeah. Oh my God, I love that.
Oh my God, Jenny was, side note, Jenny and Tony came and did their podcast here the other day and Jenny had such a woo over. She
it was a woo over.
Okay.
Exhausted.
It's so okay. exhausted. It was an incredible, okay, first of all, thank you to all of the people that came, like, because it was really done quite quickly. Mm. You know, we wanted to get it in for 2022. It's important to us. And we were like, okay, we got to like throw this together really quick, but make sure that we like really thoughtfully put it together with what we're trying to do. And for people that don't know about Woo, listen to the podcast about Woo, about with Arlene and I. And it's a really just about celebrating women, you know, moving towards kind of a fearless stance on going into your dreams. And we had just incredible, we had 100 people. So it was 120 wow. people that came. And it was like in the beautiful venue called the Kent. And the Kent is like, if you guys have not been to the Kent, it is stunning. Everything you turn around, it's like all white brick and beautiful, like vintage chandeliers everywhere and like white roses everywhere.
Wow.
And the art pieces there are like, you can't get in Vancouver. I was really lucky. I was invited to this club. It's actually an entrepreneur club to go into and actually like sit down and talk to other. It's like they call it the incubator of Vancouver. So this guy, it's his passion. He just wants it to be like full of energy, full of good, positive, like change. And when I walked in, I was like, can we do the woo here? And he's like, yeah, of course. And so David, he's an incredible entrepreneur in Vancouver. And if you haven't been to the Kent, definitely try and get there because it is, you'll see a lot of other events being held there moving forward. So we were one of the first to do these, like this incredible night. So anyways, long story short, we had three incredible speakers. I'm saying incredible a lot because it was very, it was very over the top and it was very emotional that night because I think because of after COVID, no one had been in the same room together, like Oakland agents,
right?
Women Oakland agents for a really long time. So I was like standing close to the bar and I would look over and I would see just a sea of people hugging. Like that's the first like snapshot I had in my mind was, whoa, everyone's hugging, embracing each other. Yeah. You know, saying hello, everyone's like, there's a big community there.
Yeah.
Everyone was really like talking, not about business. They were talking about family. They were talking about themselves. They were really like, how are you? Like really getting into that, which was so refreshing to see. And then we had Christina Wong, who is the top 50 business change maker for the Globe and Mail. She is a inspiration and an innovative female in the city. She puts mentorship ahead of, you know, that are not in great positions in Vancouver. So her passion and her mission is to push the downtown east side and help other entrepreneurs in that field get mentorship. And she had a guest speaker, Deirdre, come up and talk about how she was struggling with drug abuse and struggling about, you know, all these different things.
Right.
And she talked about how mentorship is so important, having someone to guide you to get you to the next level, like, you know, to put your bar up a higher.
Yeah.
So that was great. We had Jill Sinclair, who's a TED Talk keynote speaker.
Right.
Who is a force. And Brady, you've met her. Yeah, you guys both have met her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She is like, whoa, like you're like, this is a powerful woman. And she was bold that night. She talked a lot about her abuse, her sexual abuse from her father, which was very opening for, I think, a lot of people. So you could see when I looked over, when I saw everyone was talking, Jill was like, the way that she's overcome a lot, like, and to be there is just, it's over the top. It's an incredible speaker. And then we had Arlene Chang, who I will say was my best speech ever. I was so emotional about it because she brought up a lot about her family, a lot about her life, a lot about some of the struggles she's had. And before she got on, which was like so cute, she got on, she's like, this is my love letter to you. And then she walked up and she wrote it. So I was like in the corner crying, like a blubbering mess that I am. And I was like, oh my God, this. But I was so proud of her. I was so proud of her. But anyways, it was in a powerful night. And then the women of Oakland, some of us went out for dinner after and we're just together. And that group stayed connected. And now they're doing dinners every month.
Oh, nice.
Oh, wow.
So it's like, you know, this community, I'm rambling on about woo, but I gotta tell you, it was so powerful. I cannot wait till the next woo. I think that we're going to be able to help a lot of women. This is what the whole point is to help women overcome their self-doubt.
Right.
Help women, you know, make a change in their life, a positive change in their life. Help women jumpstart their education.
Right.
And this is so, I'm so passionate about it because I truly believe that as human beings, we have the duty to give back to those who do not have the chance to do that. Right.
Right.
So it was a very powerful night, especially with Masi Amini and the temperature globally right now with some of the women who've lost their lives to kind of ignite that woman right.
Right.
And it was powerful. It was powerful. That's the word I got to say. It was powerful. So So we, I think we're setting the tone for a new type of woo, which is, you know, a very inspirational night. And I really hope that, you know, I'm going to start maybe recording them kind of moving forward so that they have a takeaway. And also maybe the men of Oquin can really watch what that's all about and see what it's about. But it was an intimate night. That's it, folks.
That's amazing.
Isn't it like amazing that you have the ability to kind of create an event like that and to kind of like, you know, because this is the birthplace of Wu is in your
my mind
between your two ears, Morgan Brown.
Yeah.
You know what's weird though about that is that when I was in college, I used to do a lot of these things for the Cancer Society.
Oh, okay.
And OBAR. Hmm. And so it was like kind of always in me.
Yeah.
But my mother always said to me, I was like, I got to figure out a way to give back. I don't know how to give back. And she said, it'll just come to you. It's just going to come like strong. And then of course, you know, it's not just mine now. It's the women of Oquin's. It's not mine. It's theirs.
Yeah.
It's not mine anymore.
Yeah. And it's just funny that, well, like all these little things that happened to you in the past have prepared you to be able to do like what you're doing now. So, you know, not to get all woo-woo, although we're talking about woo.
Woo-woo.
But I think, you know, it's us. There's a magic to reason why things happen to certain people. And I think like, you know, they're meant to do certain things and have certain ideas, and even things that happen to you in childhood or as a young person can have impact on how you conduct yourself as you know, past middle age. Morgan, you're past. Yeah.
Can I just say something?
Okay.
So Sean came home the other day and he was like, oh, I was just like talking to someone about HVAC, like, oh, whatever. And he goes, we were at the Oquin North Vancouver. FYI, right. Oquin North Van is coming soon.
Yeah, right.
Part two. It's so good. And he's like, oh yeah, like I met the owner of Oquin. And he was like, oh, that's my wife. Da, da, da. And he goes, oh, you mean the really young one? And I was like, I literally stopped and I was at home and I walked up and down the stairs so happy. I was so proud. I was like, whoop, whoop, whoop. Sean was like, are you okay?
She was trying her stuff, doing the Vogue.
I was.
Yeah.
Sounds like, oh yeah, let's walk this out. Let's walk this out. Anyways, it was very good.
Yeah.
So I feel very young.
So you feel like the young one? Like if we were, so like, you know how the Beatles had their like, you know.
Come on, guys. There's some in their 40s and there's some in their 30s. That's me.
Oh, you know, he's only been 40 for like a couple months here.
Let me have one thing over. No. I gotta get one thing. He's always like to me, this is how like brother sister we are. He's always like, if I buy a house or something like that, he'll be like, oh, well, like, you know, you're like, you're 3 years behind. And that's exactly when I did it. I'm like, what?
Well, I got my first condo.
Did you organize your first woo event, Michael?
Yeah, Michael. Where's a woo? But you know what I will say?
I could not organize that. I don't have the skills.
these podcasts, which we're leaning into the next couple here, is really just about giving back. And also, you don't have to give back. You can give back in many ways, not just like events and scholarships, but like you can give back in such different ways. Like we have our Oquin Kindness, which we'll be talking about.
Yeah.
Which is a huge thing for us. You can be doing what Michael does. Sometimes before he comes here, he goes and takes like protein bars and brings them down to the downtown east side, and just like to give people little things matter.
Yeah.
Little things matter.
Yeah. You know, I think it's really, you know, not to be cliche, but we're in a really blessed position, you know, I was talking to my Uber driver who was from Somalia. He was talking about his, like, you know, his upbringing there and how it's a totally different, you know, environment. And when he wanted to raise his daughters, he didn't want to raise them, you know, and anyways. So like, yeah, so basically it was pretty like eye-opening. And so, you know, I think we are so blessed. And so, you know, if we can do anything to give back, Yeah, it's just
feeds the soul too.
It feeds the soul. It's meaningful things. Like, and it doesn't have to be like Morgan says, it doesn't have to be this
huge
grandiose
event.
Like
yes.
event, but it could, you know, could things. It's weird. It's how some things just spark others. So, for example, like, so one of my mentors, his name is Tony Robbins. So he is like, you might know him. He's a big giant guy. So he was inspired by when he was growing up, he was poor. And for Thanksgiving, he got a food box from the food bank and they had like a great meal in Thanksgiving. And so he's given millions and millions and millions of meals. So that like little act of kindness has sparked this whole like big Thanksgiving movement for him and his organization. And you never know what small little kindness can do for other people. So
do you think that you can accomplish more if you have a goal in that realm? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, you know how there's like people have goals of like giving back and stuff. Like, mm-hmm. you know, he obviously has, do you think he had a goal? Like, I'm going to give a million boxes away, you know, like,
I
do you
know
think
that he did.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he seems like a goal.
Yeah, because yeah. I think that you, I'm just saying, I know everyone wants to do like, even if it's a small gesture, sometimes it's nice to have a goal in that side too. Like
yeah.
I have a goal for Woo. It's I want to hit 100 scholarships. Like that's mm-hmm. 100 scholarships before our 10 year, which is like obviously the next 10 year of it, the next 10 years. So that means I have to do 10 to 15 scholarships every year, right? Like that mm-hmm. means I have to earn X amount mm-hmm. for that scholarship position.
Yeah.
Do you think that people should have that goal on that side? Or do you think it should just be like a nature thing?
So you're talking to somebody
goal
that's,
yeah, that's Mr. Super, goal himself.
Mr. Goal.
That's super biased.
Hashtag Mr. Goal.
But I actually don't, I don't believe in like things accidentally happening. Like I think it's important to kind of set a really solidified target. And if it's 100 scholarships or if it's whatever, mm-hmm. if it's 100 scholarships, if a certain dollar amount, a certain mouths, families fed, it's like West Bank did Vancouver House and they sponsored
yes.
a house in Cambodia for every condo they sold at Vancouver House. So like,
really, I didn't know
yeah,
about that.
Yeah. So it was a part like, and so they, there was really like, there's this
there's
energy.
A purpose
that,
and purpose
there's this
behind
purpose
it.
That goes in behind it. And so like, you know, I think having that in every area, like I put it in every area of life, you know, not only in philanthropy, but in, you know, your health and mm-hmm. your business and your relationships. Mm-hmm. By the way, we need to talk about our relationship.
She's mad at me.
No,
because
I'm
I make
not
fun
mad.
Of his hair.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
The first thing she said to me.
I was actually shocked because I looked and I double take because I was like, whoa, that guy looks like this guy I know. And I was like shocked.
Okay,
you know?
I haven't change my hairstyle in like
this is better because it's not so flat.
She did compliment you. It was
thank
a compliment.
You. Thank
no,
you.
No, no.
Thank
you. See, it looks it's the same haircut that okay. you're doing, but you're doing it different
no,
than one
no,
you did.
No,
it.
No, it's a different
like,
it's a different haircut.
Yes.
It's basically like it's a different haircut because I've had the same haircut for like 12 years. I've had the same haircut. And you know, and then I'm changing it up a little bit. I'm like, you know, getting more mature now.
And so. This is gonna be your haircut for your 40s, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Change it
and
up
then 50s is gonna be dreadlocks.
Oh yeah, I like that.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
I like that.
I don't know if I can
60s,
do
I'm going for the Jean-Luc Picard.
No. Like, do you know what I mean? The dreadlock.
Oh
feeling.
No, I couldn't. It's I mean, all the power to people that have dreadlocks, but I think it's gross.
I think there's it would be very hard to keep a dreadlock going because you can't wash it.
Yeah, it's like you just cover it in beeswax and just let her buck, I think.
This could be you.
when I'm not client facing anymore. I tried growing out my hair during COVID, like because I wanted
oh,
to
yeah.
do like the man bun samurai
oh.
haircut.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
And like my hair doesn't grow down. It grows like it just grows like it grows like a fro.
Porcupine.
Yeah, like a
really?
Porcupine. Yeah. So I was just like, this ain't gonna work. But yeah, I believe in having kind of like targets and goals for everything. You know, every area that we have any modest amount
challenge
of control
I'm going to challenge you, Openites, and the people that are listening to us right now. When you're doing your planning for next year, for 2023, which we should talk about.
Yeah.
And the planning for 2023 is you should be making goals for feeding that part of your life, like whether that's like your personal life or whatever, like what are you going to be doing that is going to impact other people's lives, right?
Mm-hmm.
In a very positive way. I think that's something I'm going to tell everyone to really think about that. Oh, and one and one
cool
goal
challenge
to kind of hit in your head. Because mm-hmm. I think that's, you know, I unfortunately lost my grandmother this season. Mm. And I go to her funeral next week, which is going to be intense. And then Mike and Arlene and I are going away. So I'll be like so weird that next weekend. But she gave one thing about my grandmother, Mary Lou. She taught me the power of giving. And she, you know when people write about you in their, what's it called? A
obituary?
Eulogy?
Okay, eulogy, yes. Are you doing a eulogy?
Yeah, there's a eulogy, but it's already gone out. But the okay. first, like, half of it, like, sorry, the second half of it, it's just all of it's giving back. Like, mm. she gave back so much to her church, okay. to people. So she really taught me the power of giving and also, like, that you should give to just give, not give to get. And I think yeah. a lot of people have changed their headspace about just giving to get something out of it. Yeah. Oh, it's going to come back to me. It's going to come back to me. No, just give to give. Like, give because you want
yeah,
to.
Yeah, there's,
you know?
Yeah, I agree. Like, some people have kind of, yeah, and I think you should
change
just give
that,
to give.
Right?
Yeah.
It's changed, I think in our climate, it has changed in general. So that's the power, guys. If you guys, my challenge to everybody is to give and think
and
about
without
goal.
Any expectations coming back. Yeah.
And feels I think good to do it, right?
Yeah.
It feels
yeah.
great. Yeah. And yeah. it's you're helping a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, here's a gift.
To our listeners.
To our listeners who are too lazy to read a full book is up next. We're going to review Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Thank you for listening to the
Oakland Podcast.
I wonder if we could do
yeah,
this.
That's cool.
Let's do it one word at a time. Like, we'll do this
okay.
Ad one word
okay,
at a time.
Okay, here we go. Ready to go.
Thank
you
for
listening
to
the
Oakland
Podcast.
If
you
like
this
podcast,
please
rate
us
5 out of 5
stars
on
your
podcast
platform
of choice.
Hey, that's
that
good.
That was too good.
That was awesome.
Okay, Mesa,
write us a review.
Yeah,
write
speed
us a review.
Up.
And if you're interested in learning more about Oakland, what do? Morgan?
Please go to oakland.com/join and put in that message box Evolve 2022,
right.
which is our theme of the year, till the end of 2022. And you will get a free mystery swag piece. Thanks so much for listening to the Oakland Podcast.
Okay. Welcome back, guys. We're going to review a book that actually has inspired many, many people to get into the real estate industry. And I think it's maybe one of the most, like, when I talk to a lot of agents and I interview new agents, this book has been coming up as a topic of like why they got into the real estate business to begin with. So
You know, I like him because he's Hawaiian.
Yeah.
And as you guys know, I love a good Hawaiian guy.
Yeah. Mm. So do you like saying his name too?
Robert I can't say his
Kiyosaki.
Last name. Kiyosaki. I don't want to mess up anyone's name. Like I'm like,
right.
I looked at Michael. I'm like, yeah. You know everyone's name.
Brandon, have you read this book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Robert Kiyosaki?
You know what? I haven't.
No,
this is like
so
one of the only books. Yeah,
we are going to school.
This is for me this episode.
Okay.
Okay. First of all, if you haven't read it, you can summarize it if you'd like. But this is a great tidbit for you guys to hear, because these are the four
key takeaways. So yes. I'll just frame it out a little bit. So,
Talk about it.
So it's a story. So I find the best business books have some form of like parable quality to them.
Yes.
Versus just like straight facts.
Yeah.
So they come with a story. So it's a story of Robert Kiyosaki growing up as a young man, and he has two dads. So he has his biological dad, which is his poor dad, who was a professor at the university. And he had his rich dad, which is his friend's dad, who was an entrepreneur. Okay. And he was an investor and entrepreneur. So like basically there's these two individuals that he talks and compares the decisions between his poor dad and his rich dad, and how, you know, even though his rich dad has all this amazing education and this poor dad has all this education and is like super intelligent, but the rich dad makes all these correct kind of business decisions in a certain way. And he's someone that Robert kind of admires a little bit more. So, and kind of follows that path. So that frames it out a little bit.
That's a good frame.
Is his poor dad a university professor?
I believe so. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes, he
that
is.
Was a guess.
Yeah, I think so.
He's a teacher.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, he's a teacher. Yeah.
But and, like, you know, if you do a bit more fact finding and research into the dark webs, like this story is kind of fictional. Yeah.
It is. Yeah.
But it's a good kind of.
But, yeah. You know, he's a big mentor and like a keynote speaker for a lot of people.
Yeah.
So if you have not, like, if you don't read this book, that's fine. But just go and Google him, because he's actually quite, even with the climate of how things trade now, all of this actually sits still, like, to now.
Yeah, he kind of teaches some really good, and it's really, there's a lot of fundamental things that he teaches in a way that we can easily assimilate.
Yes.
As the kind of everyday consumer. So I actually read this book when I was 17 or 18 years old.
Wow. It's really early.
Yeah. As a teen, I read this book. And I was like,
this when I like got my first paycheck.
Oh, really?
I read it when I was like 20. No, like paycheck in like real estate. So I was 21.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. And I was like, what do I do with it? Like, oh my gosh, money. Yeah. What am I going to do? And then you just want to set yourself up. You know, this is what it's all about, setting yourself up. So let's dive right in. So the first one.
Yeah. Some key takeaways to rich dad, poor dad.
First takeaway is most people work for money. Rich people have money work for them.
Ooh.
Which is a key. So Mike, why don't you talk a little bit about what he kind of expresses in that?
So obviously thinking about money as a method for further investment versus kind of just everyday lifestyle. And, you know, when you're, you know, it's kind of a, you know, money works for you, not you work for money. So basically, you know, when you're making decisions on investment and stuff like that, really thinking about it, how it's going to be able to generate more for you versus kind of, it talks about it in another key takeaway, but instead of like spending it on retail or other liability type of things, but really prioritizing assets. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I think the biggest thing that I took from that main point is that it's the rich people, we can call them, we're just using it as that rich people, poor people, but the rich people don't make money from working. They make it from leveraging.
Right.
Right. So it's like, I'm going to leverage something. I'm going to make sure that my money is working in another way.
Yeah.
And that's a really, a massive key takeaway is once you start maybe getting your first paycheck and saving some of that money, go and put it in something that will actually appreciate and you'll be able to make maybe cash flow from it or whatever it may be. And that's a huge takeaway for this rich dad, poor dad.
Yeah. And, you know, they always say like, you know, like there's this old cliche with investment, pay yourself first.
Yeah.
So do your investments first. And with the leftover, that's what you kind of like live off of. So like do your investment targets first, like whether that's your, you know, stock portfolio or, you know, building up a down payment for your real estate purchases and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
The second takeaway is it's not about how much money you're making that really matters. It's about how much money you keep. And that lines into what Michael's talking about, which is all about, are you actually saving any money or in what you're doing, or are you spending it over and over and over again?
Yeah.
Which I think is a big problem for a lot of people.
I think, you know, there's
people
this.
People just spend.
Yeah. There's this culture in real estate as a real estate agent of like this high flyer wearing like, you know, like $500 suits. The suits are more expensive than
is that a high flyer?
Michael?
I'm joking.
You fancy Indochino folks.
Yeah, you crazy Aldo people.
Like to drive fancy cars, to go in to go to the most extravagant restaurants
and
like to live in the most posh places.
Yeah.
Like all of that should come if you like that stuff, no problem. But make sure that you save before you get there, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. Yeah. So there's this kind of, and I hope that we're able to like break that culture of you know, this kind of high retail therapy type of environment for our agents. I hope that they're really investing in real estate and investing in assets. Investing in themselves. And that's something that it's actually not in those key takeaways, but he talks really at length about investing
in yourself,
in your learning. So being a young person, like this is one of the things that I read when I was very young, was invest in your education because it compounds. So whether that's like, you know, I had business coaches, sales coaches, life coaches, and I did like things like, you know, to break out of my shell, I did things like acting classes and improv classes and stand-up comedy classes and all these writing and stuff like that. You know, I took all these adult school things and, you know, and it really helped to kind of compound that kind of education on, for myself. But that being said, you know, really trying to break that culture of like this high flying agent.
I think it's like I think my mom taught me this actually. It's like, you got to put the money back into your business, put the money back into your own self, and then start spending it on your own self, right? But
yeah, so I remember
spending it on like valuable, like posh items, right?
Like if I didn't read this book, I remember me in when I first started in real estate, and I started selling properties and started kind of getting a little bit more listings, getting some more sales going. And I was driving an old van. So I was driving this old van that I bought from my mom's friend. And every agent in my office at the time was making fun of me.
Oh my God, I had the same thing.
Yeah.
We both were the same people.
We're like twins.
We're like twins.
Twinsies.
Oh my God.
I do that.
They just touched fingertips. And...
Got my nail, actually.
Yeah, but I broke your nail.
I know, my nail's shattered. No, but like people would... Okay, I'll tell you a really sad story. Sure. Okay, this is a sad story.
Okay.
So I used to drive this old car. Like this old Mercedes. It was a Mercedes, I will say that, but it was an old car. It was a boat. It was my dad's boat for a bit because I was like, okay, I got to take clients out. And I was like, can I borrow your car, Dad? And at that time, I was driving an 86 red convertible Mustang. And so I got into real estate. Yeah, I was like really like, because I was like, I had no money. And so I was like, Dad, I need to borrow your car. So my dad's car is like this old, you know, like... My dad's the type of guy that has like 12 cars on his things and like one of them works. Like that's my dad.
So he's the car on the lawn guy.
Yeah. Got it up on block.
And he gets, exactly. And my uncle, which I call Mothball 2, because I call them Mothball 1 and Mothball 2, because they both smell like mothballs. Because they're just, you get it.
Can't wait till my daughter grows up.
They used to make me go and drive them to the shipyards because they would ship in Japanese cars where they were driving on the other side of the road, and they look like they're the two of them are in the back. They're just like laughing, like, oh yeah, it's great, we're getting these cars. Anyways, I got that Mercedes to drive around, and I was upstairs and I was in the bullpen and I was like just first year in it, and these really like the titans of the room came up and they were like, who's driving that piece of shit downstairs?
Oh,
like,
really?
Yeah, like, that is a piece of shit. And like, and I was just like, I was like so embarrassed because they weren't talking to me at that point because I didn't, I didn't earn my way into their team, right?
And did you slowly raise your hands?
No, I didn't say anything. I was like,
did you feel shame?
I think I was like ashamed, but then I was like, it's my dad's car. My dad, I'll tell you a little secret. I'll tell you a memory of my father. So my dad used to drive us. We lived in Carisdale, which was a really nice area. Sorry. And we lived in Carisdale, but my dad would drive box cars and he would like drive us to school. And so in high school, which is a very like time where you don't want to like look bad. You're like, you know, want to be like in the popular group.
Yeah, you want to be cool.
He would take me and he'd drop me off in the morning. And I remember like when I started getting like kind of more like friend groupie, I would be like, Dad, just drop me off. Just drop me off over here. Like a block
right around
away.
The corner. Yeah. Mm. Classic.
And he used to be like, nope. And he would, every day, he'd lock those doors. I'd try and get out. And
then roll, like tuck and roll out of the car.
Yes. No, but he taught me something so. No, but you know what? Thank God he wasn't driving. I'm sorry, but he wasn't driving the Beamers and the Teslas. And he taught me a valuable lesson. He taught me you shouldn't care what anyone thinks. You should not care what anyone feels of you. You go and you show up. That's all you got to do. Just show up. And he drove me up like right in front of the cool crowd every single time. And he'd be like, bye, Morgan. I'm like, bye, Dad. He's like, kiss me. And then I'd have to kiss him. And I'd like, oh, it was so embarrassing. But I was like in grade 10 and 11. Mm. And he taught me something. And this is a valuable lesson to parents. It doesn't matter about what you drive and how you do it. It's about how you deliver that message and teach your kids a very valuable lesson. And because of that, now I'm going to do that same thing to my kids. I'm going to be like, oh yeah, you want to go? Let's embarrass you. Let's embarrass you. Because I want him to, there's some humility there, right?
Yeah, totally.
So it's not about, you know, about all that stuff. It's about how you show up to people and how you're present. So anyways, that's my stock.
Bo Brown wisdom.
And he always said, cars are a waste of money.
But they imported them from Japan.
Yeah. He thought they were toys.
Yeah.
I was like, Dad, okay, whatever. Yeah. But anyways, valuable lesson. So it's not about how you spend, it's about how you keep it, right?
Yes, it's about how you keep it, absolutely. Yes.
Back to that thing. But Mike and I had a very similar thing. Yeah. We had shitty cars. Yep. So anyone that's out there, and Desiree, when I first met Desi, she was driving this, like, kind of the same thing. Yeah. This, like, old, really bad Cadillac that her dad gave her. Mm-hmm. And she's always like, oh, my gosh, it's God. Yeah. And I was like, I know I will get along with you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I remember, this moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. I remember telling Bridge the same thing. She was driving like an old Yaris and she's like, yeah, yeah, I'm driving the like clients around. Car. I was like, they don't care. And yeah, she's like, and I refuse. She's like, no, I'm going to get something. And then I was like, you're buying a condo first. And that's the, because that was right, my story too. Like, yeah, I remember getting made fun of in my old brokerage about my old clunking. It was a Toyota Previa. It was, looked like a bullet. Powder blue. Blue, by the way.
And blue.
Yeah. And yeah, I would park it in the front of the office and they were like, whose van is that? And I was like, it's mine. And then
I was the other way. I was like, I'm scared.
And then like, they're like, what a loser. But then I remember like at the time, one of the agents was like, hey, like he was someone that I really looked up to. He's like, hey, Mike, I'm going to, let's go for lunch. I was like, you want to go for lunch with me? Sure. Yeah, yeah. And then so we get into his car and go out and he drove me to the BMW dealership. And he said, Mike, you're buying a BMW today. You're rich now. Like, I see how many sales you're doing. And I was like, and like there, he was basically like, you know, like twisting my arm to buy a car. And I was like, no, man, like I got to buy my condo. Like,
yeah, goals, yeah, right?
And I was like,
major goals.
And it was because I read this book.
Oh, isn't that,
yeah,
interesting?
Yeah. So that's because I was like, I need to buy assets first.
Yeah. And that leads to our next, yeah, one, which is rich people acquire assets, not liabilities they think are assets.
Yeah. So a lot of people think a car is an asset, but it's a liability. It's actually, it's like liability. It costs you money, right? So, mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. What else is a liability? That
well, like
asset?
Technically, like if you, I don't believe this, but you know, in according to a lot of books, like technically your principal residence, yes, is a liability, because you can't actually generate cash from it. I think of it as a hard asset. However, you know, and if you do decide to use it as a vehicle for, like, for example, Morgan's climbed the property, and I've climbed the property ladder, and mm-hmm, Morgan's climbed the property, mm-hmm, ladder by...
Got me where I am.
Yeah.
It's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, maybe in some markets, it's not an asset, yeah, so but in Vancouver, I mean,
I
year
would
over
classify
year.
It as an asset in Vancouver because some... Like let's say we were buying a house in Detroit or something like that.
Yeah.
It might not appreciate at all. And so it's kind of like a, yeah.
It's also how you frame it with your taxes too, right? Like if you, like, you know, you can leverage against your assets to,
yeah,
make a...
Yeah, you could do that.
Like, you know what I mean? Yeah, to make, yeah, another asset.
You can
asset.
Get a home equity line of credit or something like that to leverage.
I think a lot of my clients do that. Like, they'll take their principal.
Oh, yeah. Lots of my clients do that, yeah.
And they'll just constantly... So that it becomes an asset because, yeah, you can leverage it.
Yeah.
Right?
So there is kind of like a somewhat of a... Like, an argument of your principal residence being a liability. But, you know, like, lots of liabilities would be, for example, like... car leases, like really expensive electronics and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Electronics. But then you, I guess you can write them off. But yes, you don't want to go into like using like quite boastful things for yourselves for liabilities. Like a lot of people will buy boats and buy like go on many trips or something like that.
Fancy where, watches.
Yeah. Fancy watches.
Fancy watches. Yeah. Jewelry.
Jewelry bags.
Yeah. Bling.
Mm. Bling. You know, all that kind of stuff,
yeah,
which is a big part of it. But it's also, you can also say cash, like cash used to be an asset. And I think now it's a liability, isn't it?
Cash is an asset.
Cash is an asset, I
but
guess.
But it depreciates.
Yes, yeah,
because right now the inflation rate is so high.
So
holding
high.
Cash, yeah, is depreciating.
Useless.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. It's not useless. I think it's worthwhile to, yeah, hold, you know. I, you know, everyone's a bit different. I like to be comfy, so I like to have 6 months of expenses kind of in cash, revolving at all times. And GICs are like a good, you know, they were so low, but now they're actually kind of higher.
Higher,
so like you,
yeah,
can revolve a GIC and stuff like that. Yeah.
Assets are also other businesses to businesses, right?
Yeah.
So you can buy a, yeah, business that, yeah, cash flows. Yeah, stuff like that, which, mm-hmm, is great. And then it brings me to my next point, which is working all your life for someone else will lead to financial struggle. How do you,
ooh,
feel about that?
It's just a different, you know, that's a very controversial kind of statement. And I think, you know, sometimes there's some elements of like shock where, you know, where you're trying to get attention. So you do like some shocking statement. So I think that I don't think if you ask Robert if everyone should be an entrepreneur.
No.
I don't think everyone should be an entrepreneur.
No way.
I disagree with hard. That. It is. Some people have the ability to withstand the risks, pain, struggle, heartache, emotional, mental, physical, spiritual distress that a business can bring you. And some people don't. And so, and you've got to know your, be really self-aware.
Preach. Preach. Because that's what it feels like. Entrepreneurs, I think you're right.
Yeah. And some people have that ability to do so and some people do not. Some people,
they like their 9 to 5.
Yeah. Like,
and they want stability and they want to make sure that they have, you know, they know what's coming down. They want benefits.
And they're going to do better there.
In that way.
They're going to do better there than running a business because, you know, sometimes they're not going to make the
right decisions.
Appropriate decisions, right? Mm-hmm. And have make the right choices for the betterment of the business. So, yeah. Like, you know, this is an example. Morgan and I weren't paid at Oakwind for like 4 or 5 years.
6 years, but yeah. No one's counting.
6 for you, 4 for you.
No.
It's the same. Mike and I are the same.
We're the same. Never have done that. Yeah.
But no. I think that, what do I not know about this? No.
Because we reinvested back into the business.
Into Oakwind,
versus kind of like extracting any pay whatsoever. Like, you know, and we would actually pay into the company more.
We did.
Makes sense.
Yeah. I think that I have two best friends, of my high school best friends, and they like have always toyed with the idea of being an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them. They're both like brilliant individuals, mm-hmm. like super good. But they watch what I go through sometimes and they're like, I could never do that. I could never make that decision that quick, or I could never. And I think there's just different people for different strokes for different folks, right?
Yeah.
You know, like that's just the truth. And some people have this like ingrained in them. A lot of it has to do with how you were raised,
yeah.
I think, right? Because both of them came from like very solid parents that have like are doctors and, you know, like nurses,
professional families.
Yeah. And they really got to spend summers together and they really got to spend like dinners together. And they had that kind of thing where Mike and I, we came from like really non-consistent families.
Yeah.
Like we try to get there with our families now because we wish we had that really.
Yeah.
But
totally.
I think it's just very normal to us. We don't mind taking risks, you know.
Well, we took a lot of risks probably younger. Now we're taking a lot
less.
I would say
risks,
we're still taking risks, but not, I think they're not as kind of like,
we learned a lot.
Yeah. We learned a lot. And I feel like, yeah, you know, I think it's like an interesting statement. And I think it's something that to really do a self-analysis of. If I didn't read this book, I may have kind of gone into non-entrepreneurship or like, mm-hmm. and this book really helped me to kind of get into real estate specifically as well, because he does talk about real estate being such a powerful asset because it cash flows. And
he does.
There's a statement in there called getting out of the rat race.
Yes.
Where your assets and income from those assets outweigh your expenses.
Mm-hmm.
So once you kind of build this magic formula of accumulating enough real estate or cash flowing asset, that could be dividend stock, that could be real estate, rental properties. There's this magic moment where your income from the investments outweigh your expenses that you have day to day. And mm-hmm. that's when you actually successfully hit financial freedom.
And
and get, quote unquote, get out of the rat race. And so like, that's something that he kind of talks about, and which is really exciting to kind of have as a target or a goal mm-hmm. for yourself, for everyone to do. And the sooner you start doing this, the better off you're going to be. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. I forgot about that part in the
rat race.
Yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah. And then he has there's a game that you can play this game. So you can, I have played it. It's a bit wonky. It's kind of like Monopoly style, but it's called the cash flow game.
Oh, yeah.
So you can teach our kids. So financial literacy is something that is not taught in school, which is unfathomable for, you know, yeah, and so I feel like if I didn't have my Uncle Frank and my Uncle Victor and, you know, reading and having some interest and having some good influence, mm-hmm. like Alfred and my friend yeah. Nat, who's into finance and he's also an agent at our office. If I didn't have them, like, they taught me a lot of stuff about, you know, finances and stuff like that. They would say, okay, read this book. And I would say, oh, you read this book. And so like, yeah. So like, it's something that should definitely be taught.
We should play this yeah. at Oakwin, the cash flow.
Cash flow game?
We should do a night.
Yeah, sure. Like I played it once or twice.
We should play it.
Yeah, we can play it. Teach them, play it with our kids.
We can play with our kids.
Yeah.
Actually, it's funny because I teach my kids like, so like counting and different things. Like it's, so have I said that, talked to you about this?
I don't think so.
Okay, so instead of my kids counting like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I make them count in businesses. So I'm like, one business. So now Quinn goes, one downtown building, two downtown building, three downtown building.
Wow.
And he actually puts them in blocks. Like my son like loves to like do blocks, but like make me towers of downtown.
Yeah.
And you come into my office at my house, he's got like a whole village and he's like, mommy, this is the garage and this is the living room and this is yeah. the thing. And it's very cool. You
and
influence
he's just like
them.
Stacking cash on the other side too.
You know what? Yeah. I'm never limiting them for believing.
He's like Tony Montana.
If you can believe it.
Yeah. One briefcase of cash, yeah. two briefcases of yeah. cash.
Yes. Yes. I don't know why we count in bananas. Stupid. Done. Very not smart.
Okay, folks. Well, that's Rich Dad, Poor Dad in a nutshell. Okay, well, guys, I encourage you to read the books. Yes. We encourage you to read often, and readers are...
Leaders, baby.
Okay. So on that note, guys, thanks for listening to the Oakwin Podcast. If we've enjoyed this podcast, Morgan, what do?
You get onto your platform of choice and rate us 5 out of 5. And also just put in that message box on that platform what you'd like to hear from us. We'd love to hear your feedback. If you'd like to join Oakwin
or learn more,
please go to oakwin.com.
Yep.
/join. And put in that message box.
Evolve 2022.
And we'd love to reach out and one of the leaders will say hello. Thanks
awesome.
So much for joining
us. Thanks, guys.
Us.
Okay.
Bye-bye.